What in a name? All of us were given our names by our parents. They've named you what they've named you, whether you like it or not. Most of us were probably not given our name because of the type of person we would turn out to be. No, probably the name that was given to us was either because it was a family name or simply it was a name our parents liked. If we're honest, names today, they are little more than labels. Labels to distinguish one person from the other. They usually don't carry a lot of meaning or significance. But that's not the case in the Bible. Names in the Bible and their meanings are important, significant. Abraham means the father of many nations. Elijah, my God is Jehovah. Peter, rock. And this morning we want to think particularly about God's name. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 and the 7th verse. It's on page 78, Exodus 20, verse 7. After a break last week, we returned to looking at the Ten Commandments. So far, we've thought about the first two. This morning, we come to the third commandment. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, as a boy, I grew up thinking that this commandment is primarily warning us against bad language. That's not wrong. It does have something, a lot to say to us about the profaning of God's name in our words. But it's much broader than just foul language. It's much broader than that. In fact, I'm going to suggest to you today that this commandment is much broader and far more important than you perhaps have ever imagined. I'd like to explore that with you in four ways this morning. Firstly, let's look at the meaning of God's name. The meaning of God's name. If we look closely at the verse, the name this commandment explicitly guards is the name Lord in capital letters. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That's God's special name. It was a name he revealed long before this incident on Mount Sinai, way back in Exodus chapter 3. Back at the burning bush, when Moses asked for God's name. We read it, Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God gave Moses his name. In Hebrew, it consists only of four letters. It became known as Yahweh. Or literally, I am who I am, Lord. And every time we come across Lord in capital letters in our Bibles, it's that name, Yahweh, God's special name. It speaks of the God who entered into covenant with his people, this God of relationship, the God of Israel. But it wasn't just a title. It wasn't just a label. In fact, God's name stood for everything that God is. His name is a summary of all that he is. It's a summary of his entire character. It speaks about everything about him. It speaks of how he's eternal and unchanging. The self-existing God, the sovereign God, the perfect, promise-making, promise-keeping, holy God. And so this commandment, friends, is saying to us, everything about God, all of his character, all of his person, all of his word, everything that God does, in other words, not just his name, but everything about God is to be treated with reverence and holiness. His name and all that he is to be treated with special reverence. The third commandment literally means, do not lift up the name of God in emptiness. In other words, we're not to use God's name or his character or his word or any of his works in an empty, vain, worthless way. Rather, we're to be reverent, we're to be sincere, we're to give full consideration when we take his name or his character upon our lips. So that's something about the meaning of God's name. So this commandment isn't just talking about the word Lord. It's talking about everything that God is. Then secondly, the misuse of God's name. Let's look in more detail the misuse of God's name. We aren't to speak about him carelessly, thoughtlessly, or flippantly, as if he didn't matter, or as if he didn't exist at all. Let me suggest four ways that God's name can be misused today. Firstly, and very obviously, by using it as a swear word. That's probably the most obvious way God's name is misused, by being used as a swear word. It's so common today. People hardly even know that they're doing it. Yet it's one of the most serious sins. It's one that should deeply grieve us, friends. All around us, the blasphemy of the name of God. On the television, with the people we work with, the people we study with, even from the lips of young children, the name of God taken lightly, used as a joke, his name and character hurled about as if they are nothing. They don't realize they're taking the holiest name in all of the universe. They're talking about their Creator. They're talking about our Savior. It ought to be repulsive to us, friends. We know countless people who say, "My God," but never in adoration. Who say, "Good Lord," but not with a thankful heart. None of us would dare to do that, would we? Well, would we? Because sometimes Christians can substitute God's name. Sometimes Christians can substitute his name for his attributes, for who he is. Oh my goodness, for goodness' sake, goodness only knows. That's substituting the name of God for his character, for who he is. That's misusing the name of God. Do we really think about what we're saying, friends? Let me say a particular word to your young people. Abbreviating blasphemy is not okay. To write or to say OMG is not okay. I would like to think none of our young people would stoop to that. Is it possible that we're taking God's character and lifting it up in a thoughtless manner, friends? In Christian circles, very common to hear "God bless" or "the Lord knows" or "God willing." Now, they're not bad expressions at all. But what's in our minds when we say them? Do we mean them when we say them? Are we considering God's character when we say them? Friends, let's be very careful. Let's decide to train ourselves to handle the whole name of God, the whole character of God, with holiness, with reverence. This commandment is very clear. We're not to use God's name or his character as a common swear word. That's the first way it's misused, as a swear word. A second way God's name is misused is by using it carelessly. By using it carelessly. This is perhaps the greater danger for us this morning. It's maybe the most subtle way to break this commandment, by speaking of God carelessly, particularly in the areas of worship and prayer. When we sing, we're taking the name of God upon our lips. Every time we sang today and we took God's name on our lips, did you consider the God you were worshipping? Or did your minds wander? Perhaps our minds were more taken up with the tune. Perhaps our hearts were not engaged. Perhaps our eyes passed over the pages, but our minds didn't take in anything. That's taking God's name in vain. Isaiah 29:13. These people, this is God speaking, these people draw near with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Or William Shakespeare said something similar through his character Hamlet. My words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. Are we careless in our worship, friends? What about our praying? I'm convinced that Christians can find themselves repeatedly and carelessly breaking this commandment in our praying. Every time we take his name upon our lips, we're to consider the God we pray to. We're to use his name sparingly and thoughtfully in prayer. It's not a good habit, friends, to say the Lord's name continually in our prayers, using it as a filler between sentences. I'm sure you know what I mean when we slip into saying Lord or God or Father over and over and over in our praying. That's not really considering the name or the character of God. What about when we say, in Jesus' name, Amen? Do we think about Christ as we finish our prayers like that? We're asking that everything we pray would be done for the sake of the Saviour. Do we think about that? Or are we just taking God's name on our lips, thoughtlessly, carelessly? Let's consider his name as we worship and pray. We use his name carelessly. A third way we can misuse his name is by dragging it through the mud. By dragging it through the mud. Schools don't take it lightly when one of their pupils is observed down the town in the school uniform getting into trouble. It damages the name of the school, the reputation of the school. Friends, if that's true for a school, how much more is it true for God in heaven? As believers, there's a great sense in which we carry the name of Christ as we go about our lives. We are Christians, Christ's ones. The larger catechism says one of the ways we can misuse God's name is by careless living, our lifestyle. Think of Paul as he wrote to the Christians in Rome. In Romans 2:24, he said, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. It's very clear, friends. The way Christians live, does it provoke the world to blasphemy? What does the watching world think when Christians have affairs? When Christians and churches run each other down, or when they don't talk to each other, or when they don't invite each other around to their homes? What does the watching world think when Christian students use God's name lightly? When Christian young people have shoddy work, or when believers are late to the office, or when they don't pull their weight? What does the watching world think? What happens? What do they think when Christian businessmen conduct their trade in a way that appalls others? Or when Christian housewives run up huge debt? Or when Christian children answer their parents back? What do they think? Surely, friends, it damages the name and the reputation of our Saviour. Let's not be found dragging his name through the mud. May God's name never be blasphemed by others because of what we do. And a fourth way God's name can be misused is by lightly breaking holy promises. By lightly breaking holy promises. There's something particularly offensive to God when a promise is taken in his name and it's taken lightly or insincerely. We're talking marriage vows, baptismal vows from both parents and congregation, church membership vows, vows that an elder or deacon takes at their ordination, promises that a congregation makes in the making out of a call. All of us in this church have been involved in these kinds of promises, these kinds of vows that are made in Christ's name or in the name of God. Solemn promises. But when we fail to keep them, we're treating God's name as worthless, as empty, taking his name in vain, really. So, friends, we should be praying for our children, praying for the parents here, praying for the elders and deacons, praying for one another, that we would be able to keep the vows we have made, rather than just taking God's name lightly on our lips. Misusing God's name. Those are just four ways. The Catechism is very helpful in showing us lots of other ways. Careless worship, careless praying, dragging it through the mud, lightly breaking holy promises, and the first and probably most obvious way, swearing and cursing. Friends, we break this commandment more times than we like to think. Misusing God's name. Well, then the meaning and the misuse of God's name. Thirdly, the punishment for misusing God's name. The punishment for misusing God's name. And this is back in the verse, Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Here God is underlining the seriousness of misusing his name. He says, you will not escape punishment. You will be held guilty. There's many examples in the Bible. Perhaps the most shocking occurs in Leviticus chapter 24. There a fight broke out between two Israelites as they fought. One of them blurted out a curse against God. It says in Leviticus 24, verse 11, he blasphemed the name and cursed. And the bystanders were told, they were appalled. They brought him along to Moses. And the Lord did not hold him guiltless. The young man was put to death. Friends, God will be no less severe in his ultimate judgment of those who today take his name cheaply, of those who use it as a common swear word. And to treat God lightly deserves the severest punishment, the Bible says. Wrath and judgment. That's what God is storing up for those who use his name lightly. Do you see the seriousness of this commandment? He will hold us guilty. Friend, if you're completely ignoring his name, if you're stubbornly refusing to bow your knee before this name, then you're blatantly disobeying this commandment, treating his name as a light thing. God will not hold you guiltless. Well then, how can we ever dare to use it? Surely we would be better, we would be wiser, would we not, just not to speak about God's name, not to mention him at all, just in case our hearts truly aren't in it. Well, that's a mistake well-meaning Jews make. They don't use the name Lord. They don't speak of Yahweh. In fact, sometimes they refuse even to write his name. They're so scared of breaking this commandment, scared they would be using his name lightly. This commandment, it isn't here to paralyze us. It isn't here to stop us from using God's name. And so we come forthly to think of the privilege of using God's name. The privilege of using God's name. We thought about the meaning, the misuse, the punishment. Now fourthly, the privilege. Because all the commandments have a positive aspect as well as a negative. We spent most of our time on the negative this morning. But it follows, does it not, that if we're warned about misusing the name of the Lord, it's because we're invited to properly use the name of the Lord. We're not to misuse it, but we are to properly use it. Imagine the Queen came to Newton Arch. You were at a function where you got to meet her. There you are. You're along with a string of other people. You're lined up. She's making her way along the line. And you greet her, you say, Your Majesty. But imagine, to your surprise, the Queen leaning in and whispering into your ear, Call me Liz. What an immense privilege. The Queen allowing you to call her special name. I wonder if even Prince Philip calls her this name. Yet she allows you to call her by that name. Well, friends, in this commandment, God says, Call me Lord. Call me your covenant God. This is my special name. He says to us later, Call me your Father. Pray, Abba, Father. What a privilege to come in worship, to come in prayer, and to use his name, the most intimate of names. Friends, let's make sure we use his name as we praise him, as we come to him in prayer. We're to come in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we're saved. Let's remember that as we live, we carry his name. Every day you walk out of the house, you're carrying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. The Lord is your God, and you're to live as one of his people. So friends, let's confess our blasphemies. Let's confess our careless use of the name, our dragging the name through the mud, our failure to keep holy promises? Are you not finding these commandments to show you something of the seriousness of your sin? They show us how far short we've fallen. We've only reached the third commandment. They point us to a Saviour. The Lord sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for our blasphemies. For all the times we lifted up His name lightly, every time we misused His name, Christ took that punishment. He was treated as a blasphemer. We must repent deeply. We must realize the name that we've belittled and despised is the name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Paul to the Romans would say later, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a name that will endure and last forever and ever. It's a name, Paul would say to the Philippians, it's a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So friends, there are few things more dangerous than to misuse the name of the Lord. But there are few things more wonderful than the privilege of being able to properly use this name. How excellent in all the earth, Lord our Lord, is your name. Amen.